Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the area. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is Thursday, the 12th of March, 2026. The Billings Police Department released its 2025 annual report. YPR's Kay Erickson has details.
Billings Police Chief Rich St. John said the most important thing in the just-released report is the city is safer today than in 2024. The police department reports a significant reduction in all types of crimes that affect people's daily lives, including reduction in property crime and quality of life offenses, while violent crime numbers remain stable. He reports homicides are down 60% from previous years. In 2025, there were 5 deliberate homicides compared to 15 in 2024. Chief St. John noted domestic violence is one of the biggest drivers of violent crimes in Billings and that efforts are being made to protect the victims.
We saw a significant increase, specifically 200%, in a state charge called reasonable apprehension of partner family member assault, or PFMA. That indicates that our victims are reporting earlier and that our officers are intervening sooner.
The chief credits the work of the Northern Lights Family Justice Center in providing help and support for those in need. Traffic remains a major concern for Billings.
In 25, we responded to more than 2,600 collisions. 1 in 4 of those was an injury accident or a report of an injury accident.
St. John credits the short-term holding facility that opened in October to help with the overcrowding at the detention center with helping reduce crime.
There's an absolute direct correlation to the reduction in our calls for service, the reduction in our quality of life stuff, and the ability to put people in jail. Absolute correlation.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The Montana State women's basketball season has come to a close. Wednesday afternoon in Boise, they lost to Idaho 60-57 in the Big Sky Championship game. The number one seed Vandals led for most of the game and weathered rally by the second seed Lady Cats in the final minutes. The two teams split the regular season matchup, with MSU winning at home by more than 30 points, but losing in Idaho by 3 in early February. Idaho will advance to the NCAA tournament. They will learn who they play, where, and when in the selection show Sunday night on ESPN. The women's NCAA tournament begins with the first round of games March 20th through the 21st. Yellowstone County is proposing a bond and levy to fund expansion of the overcrowded county jail. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Yellowstone County will ask voters in November to pass a $175 million bond and a $20 million levy to renovate and expand the county jail. That adds up to approximately $180 extra a year for a household worth $300,000. The request addresses longtime overcrowding at the jail, which according to the county is over capacity by at least 200 people on a regular basis. Dave Iron sat on the advisory group that helped put the proposal together. He said at a Tuesday meeting of the Yellowstone County Commission that this expansion will help relieve pressure from the local justice system, which because of capacity issues releases some prisoners in order to move others in.
And I want to compliment the county attorney's office, the jailers, the judges, who have to make that horrible decision on a daily basis and have someone exit the jail that should really be there, but because of our overcrowding cannot be there.
The county had previously been considering building another jail. The advisory group helped scale it down to the expansion instead, which will add 320 beds and additional services. A public hearing for the bond and levy is scheduled for Tuesday, March 31st at 9 a.m. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Weather forecasters are increasingly confident a major winter storm is barreling down on western Montana. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien has more.
Western Montana's latest atmospheric river is expected to move in tonight through Saturday. All mountains are on track to receive multiple feet of fresh snow. Powerful wind could knock down trees and power lines, and travel in the higher elevations could be treacherous. According to forecasters, most valleys, even in northwest Montana, won't see much snow, but a rain-snow mix is almost guaranteed. Winter storm warnings are posted in a line from Sula in southwest Montana to Polebridge, northwest of Columbia Falls. Blizzard conditions are likely through Thursday morning on Highway 2 east of West Glacier to Marias Pass and in backcountry areas. Wind is this storm's other major impact. Valleys are likely to receive gusts of over 50 miles per hour, and downed trees and power outages are expected. Gusts in the mountains will likely exceed 70 miles per hour. The west winds combined with the heavy wet snow is expected to ramp up avalanche danger. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
This is Yellowstone Public Radio. I'm Carl Lengel. Democrats competing in Montana's western congressional race met for a debate in Butte Tuesday. They discussed money in politics, data centers, and access to health care, among other topics. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager has more.
When the four candidates were asked to spell out what sets them apart, Matt Raines of Sims joked,
"I mean, we're all great. What I bring to the... we are."
While the candidates found some distinction between their views, they agree on most issues. The debate, hosted by Mullen Newspaper Company, was friendly. Russell Cleveland of St. Regis, Ryan Bussey of Kalispell, Sam Forsteg of Missoula, and Raines are vying to advance to the general election. Bussey is a former firearms industry executive turned critic and author. He says his experience running for governor in 2024 gives him a leg up, even though he lost.
A lot like Brian Schweitzer, who called me after that election. He said, "You don't stop. You take what you've learned, you take what you've built, you put it to work, and you go to work winning the next election." That's exactly what Brian Schweitzer did. That's what I intend to do here.
Forsteg is a wildland firefighter, a union leader, and a political organizer. He says Capitol Hill needs his working class perspective.
We have not had a union member running for Congress in over a decade. And that is a big part of the reason a lot of union members are voting the other way. We can fix that.
Cleveland is a U.S. Navy veteran, rancher, and entrepreneur. He talked about running a grassroots campaign and his pledge to reject corporate donations. He says he wants to fight injustice.
I've been proud to do that against genocide, against ICE, against anything that is unjust for the people of America, for the people of the rest of the world.
Raines is a U.S. Army veteran, former photojournalist, and rancher. He's also worked for the Montana Farmers Union and as an engineer. He says he has the breadth of knowledge that Congress requires.
I got in this race because my experience, my background, West Point, having served in the military, the understanding of how this world operates, I've been there firsthand.
All four candidates say they support access to abortion, but on access to health care, they each offer different solutions. Cleveland spoke about his daughter, Madison, who died at age 13 from leukemia. He says he had to fight his insurance company for partial coverage of her care. He advocates for a single-payer nationwide system.
Medicare for All Plus is the only solution moving forward.
Bussey also called for universal health coverage. He didn't highlight a specific system, but said too many Democrats have impeded a universal care model.
We need to put an elbow in them and get them out of the way, and I'll do it.
Raines focused on rural access to health care. He lamented the One Big Beautiful Bill's cut to Medicaid funding.
We have to find funding to come into Montana and increase our rural hospitals.
Forsteg says he supports expanding existing Affordable Care Act subsidies and a public buy-in option for Medicare while preserving private insurance plans.
That does not give Republicans the chance to frame us as taking away choice, because you know what? I know a lot of people like me stuck on the private insurance market that would jump at the chance to buy into Medicare.
The Democrats all support banning members of Congress from trading stock and say the U.S. should do more to develop renewable energy. They also express concern about data center development. Forsteg said the centers should have to adhere to strict regulations and use union labor. Cleveland called for a federal moratorium on development until regulations can be enacted. Bussey said communities should be suspicious of any corporation that wants to build a data center in their town, and any promises should be put in writing. Raines said he supports tech development with guardrails in place and wants more research on data centers before they come to Montana. The candidates agreed that the race is more competitive now that incumbent Republican Congressman Ryan Zinke has bowed out. Three candidates are running in the GOP's primary for the seat. Reporting from Butte, I'm Shaylee Riker.
This is Yellowstone Public Radio. As Opera Montana looks forward to a world premiere of a Western classic, the creative team is sharing its vision. Opera Montana will debut A River Runs Through It, Norman MacLean's semi-autobiographical account of his relationship with his brother Paul and their upbringing in an early 20th century Montana family. The 1976 book was filmed by Robert Redford as a movie in 1992. The world premiere of A River Runs Through It as an opera takes place in September in Bozeman and Missoula and celebrates the 50th anniversary of Norman MacLean's beloved elegy to family and fly fishing in Montana. The creative team for the adaptation includes music by Zach Redler, libretto by Matt Foss and Kelly Rourke. Foss will also stage direct the premiere. Foss is a Big Sky favorite as a three-decade veteran with Montana Shakespeare in the Parks. He says MacLean's novel seems natural but offers some challenges.
The story lives large in so many people's imaginations, and they have very personal relationships with it. I don't think it was always the most obvious choice for an opera for a lot of people, even though the ideas are large and sweeping and acute, but in a very tight and efficient package when you read Norman MacLean's writing.
The premiere of Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It takes place September 18th through the 20th and 25th through the 27th at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman. Performances will follow October 3rd and 4th in collaboration with Missoula Symphony Orchestra at the University of Montana's Denison Theater in Missoula. For more information about Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It, visit operamontana.org. For the full interview with the creative team behind the production, visit ypradio.org. Do you know a Montanan who made a lasting impact on the Treasure State? You have a chance to nominate them for the Gallery of Outstanding Montanans. The Montana Legislature established the gallery nearly 50 years ago. It honors citizens who made significant contributions to the state's culture and identity locally or on the national stage. Nominations open once every decade, and living persons are not eligible. Honorees are recognized for a period of 8 years in the Montana State Capitol. Past inductees include Copper King Marcus Daly, U.S. Senator and diplomat Mike Mansfield, author Ivan Doig, and Crow Tribe Chief Joseph Medicine Crow. Nominations are due by May 3rd. For more information, visit the Montana Historical Society's website. That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.